What a deal. All right. Let's go ahead and get into this morning. We're continuing, again, talking a lot about Moses and then where God says the presence of God is going to go with you. In Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth." God's the source of everything. Absolutely everything. He gives us opportunities. He gives us ability. He gives us health. He gives us, well, some of us, a sound mind. Every job that we have comes from the Lord. Every skill that we learn and know comes from the Lord. Every promotion, every paycheck, every touch, everything we see, there's not anything that we have or that we can get that God did not give us. I was reading a devotion this morning where it talked about when Jesus was saying, you know, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar and things that are God's things. What's Caesar own? Nothing. Nothing belongs to Caesar. Everything, the earth is Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything belongs to God, and everything has come from God. And we tend to forget this in our lives, and we pull ourselves up by our own bootstraps. No, we don't. Everything comes from the Lord. God is the source of everything. Without him, we have nothing. Without his presence, and this is what Moses was recognizing there. Without God's presence, there is no provision. You have nothing without God. In Exodus 33 and verse 14, it says, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." You know, we go to psychologists and psychiatrists and all of this, and people are trying to find rest. They're not going to find it there. There's no rest without the presence of God. Why are these kids going in blowing other kids away in schools? And why do they go out here and just blow themselves away? They have no hope. They do not have the presence of God. And because of that, there's nothing. There's nothing for them. Moses, when he come to this point, and God told him, he said, I'm not going in with you. And Moses said, if you don't go, we're not going. Because there's the only way that we can have victory, the only way that we can have provision is with God's presence. The only way that we can have rest is with God's presence. Moses knew that without God's presence, there was nothing. Provision was totally connected to God going with them. So as they were going to go into that land, God provided the wealth. How did he do that? They spoiled the Egyptians. God provided the weapons. Where did they get weapons? They were slaves. They got them from the Egyptians. God gave them weapons. God gave them all that. He gave them manna. He fed them. He gave them quail. He fed them. He gave them water. Their clothes didn't wear out. I would kind of like that. And I know a lot of mamas would have liked that when their kids are growing up. You're always replacing clothes and stuff. But God said that their clothes did not wear out. That when the enemies would attack them, God is the one that protected them. Why? God's presence. When God's presence is there, there is that provision. And it's the same today. God gives us the ability to create wealth. We don't do anything of ourselves. God, when man says, you know, I made this. No, they didn't make it. They just put it together. God's the one that made it. He gave them the materials. He gave them the abilities. I've often wondered just that when you take a handful of pills, and I know you're familiar with that, and you take your fingers and you can sort through them almost without even looking, and you can sort through them pills until you find that one, and you can slide that thing up there and get, and you can take that one pill. The dexterity that comes in the human body, that only comes from God. How do you know that? Watch somebody when they get a stroke. That dexterity is gone. God is the one that gives it. God is the one that takes it away. The fame, all of these things. You can have gold and not be wealthy. You can have fame and not be important. We have freedom. We have cars. We have toys. We have insurance. We have doctors. We have hospitals. Much more than Israel had. Much more than the rest of the world has. Why did God put you in America? Why did he have you born here? Why did God give us so much? To whom much is given, God says much is required. So what are we doing more with what God has given us to reach the world for Christ? To really accomplish what God wants us to do in this life. Earthly gain, but yet nothing of eternal value. Without God's presence, there's no grace, there's no peace, there is no hope. But when God is present, he provides. He provides what we need. And a lot of people say, I need this, and I need this, and I need this. And when they go to God in prayer, it's nothing but a grocery shopping list. But listen to what God said in Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory. We think we need everything, but really, this is one thing going to Africa taught us. We didn't need everything. I mean, we're in Africa. We didn't need air conditioning. When it got cold, we didn't need it. All the heat and everything. We didn't need all the toys and we didn't need all the entertainment. We always have a crazy expression, about all you can do in Africa to waste money is eat. There's no entertainment. There's none of that stuff. I mean, life is so much different and we are so spoiled here in America. God says, I'll provide your need. And we have this whole list of wants. He sustains us. When his presence is there, it says he sustains us. And that's why he says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. A promise of God. As we bring our burdens to God, this is one of the things when people have difficulties, one of the first things they do is lay out of church. That is the dumbest thing. That's where you need God, especially in these difficulties and trials. Cast thy burden. What burden do you have? What trouble? What problem? What situation? Whether it's family or finances or physical health, all of these things. He says, cast thy burden on the Lord, and he what? Might? He said, he shall sustain thee. It says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. If we're doing what God says, we can stand and we can stand firm. He says also in Isaiah 41 verse 10, fear thou not. Why? For I am with thee. There's the presence of God there. Why can we go through life and not fear every turn of the event and when the stock market goes up or when it goes down or when you're, you know, the politician gets elected or gets overthrown in the election. Why can we just go through life and not fear? Because it says, I'm with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. God promises to sustain the believer. As we put our burdens on him, as we trust in him, as we learn to walk with him daily, he says, I'm going to do these things. I'm going to sustain you. He says in verse 9 in 2 Corinthians 12, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Why? Because I'm powerful. I'm strong. I'm omnipotent. Our strength cannot get through the financial crisis. Our strength cannot get through the physical difficulty. I don't care if it's even up to death. If God chooses to take us because of our physical difficulty, that's not a failure on God. That's graduation to heaven. He's actually blessing us by taking us to heaven and not having us go through all the pain and suffering and anxiety. He sees down the road. We don't. And so he says, my grace, no matter what point in any situation we are in life, he says, my grace is enough. It's sufficient. His presence there can get us through everything. Why? Not because we understand it, not because we got the best doctors, not because our financial guru knows what he's doing, but simply because God's strength, he can get us through anything and everything. And that's why these little trials in our life, we have to learn to trust God now. And learn to walk with him through these, because the more difficult they become, the more we are learning that we can trust him in everything. And when we get to the big super problem, we're going to be able to handle it. Why? Because God's there. And we've learned to trust him. And we know that his grace is sufficient for us. Because his strength is made perfect in weakness, in our weakness. He gets glory out of our life. And then he prospers us. When God's presence is there, we can have prosperity. Now, prosperity where? The charismatic movement, we dealt with this over in Africa, just, I mean, these people are promising phones, they're promising girlfriends, that, you know, you come, you give to our ministry, you'll have the internet, and we all kind of promises. You'll be able to fly on these planes like these evangelists and stuff, have your own plane and big cars and big homes and all this. And then after they fleeced them of all their money, they come to our gate and say, can you help us with transportation to go back to the village? It's a scam. He prospers us in what matters most. Now watch this. 3 John 1:2. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper. You say, is this prosperity gospel? Yes. But in prosperity and what's most needed. Notice he says that thou mayest prosper and be in health even as thy soul prospereth. You got a healthy soul? You're prospering. God blesses and prospers the spiritual aspect. And these other things, that's why he said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, if we're saved and we're seeking the things of God, we're living a righteous, holy life, then God says, all these other things shall be added unto you. But if God's presence is not there, then why would he want to bless us? I have in my wills that my grandchildren get nothing. So that's not kind. But the provision is that everything goes to my children, and if my grandchildren are serving the Lord, then they get something. If they're not serving the Lord, they're not getting a dime. I'm not supporting a drug habit. I'm not supporting a wicked lifestyle. So if they're going to serve the Lord, yeah, they get it. But if they're not, they don't get it. Why? I'm not going to prosper them in the things of the devil. I'm going to prosper them in the spiritual things. And so if they're walking with the Lord, if their soul is prospering, if the spiritual aspect in their heart, if they're serving him, then they're going to have the blessings. Same thing with us. He said, if we're serving ourselves and going our own way and doing our own thing, are we going to have the confidence in the Lord? Are we going to have his blessings on our life? Is he going to sustain us? Is he going to provide for us? Is he going to prosper us? No, all of this comes with the presence of God. When God goes with you, he said, all these things will be added unto you. Psalm chapter 1, it says, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, which giveth forth his fruit in his season, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now that's prosperity gospel. But it comes with stipulation. The man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in that he meditates day and night. Christ is the focus. Christ is there. They're studying the word. They're meditating on the word. And when we are walking with God like this, he says, whatsoever he doeth, can it prosper? Are we prospering? Is our soul healthy? Proverbs 10 and verse 22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord, is God blessing us? It says it maketh rich. Now, again, you can have gold and not be wealthy. He's not talking about the earthly rich. He's talking about that soul. He's talking about our spirit, that we might be rich in the Lord. And through that, we'll have his blessings. And there's no sorrow there. That's why Brother Weaver, when he died the other day, good professor, good friend of mine, on his deathbed, I mean, he's ready to check out. And he's witnessing to the nurse, telling her she needs Jesus Christ before she dies. Brother Ron Bragg, my African director, died here this last year. On his deathbed, he's witnessing to people. Can't hardly get his breath, but he's telling people about Jesus Christ. He's in love with God, not worried about what's going to come in the next 10 minutes, next hour. Totally at peace with God. He's got hope. Why? Because of the presence of Almighty God. Because God is providing for him, because God is sustaining him, God is prospering him. Why? Because he puts Christ first. And when he walks into that presence of God in heaven, man, what a joy. Not going to hang his head and say, well, I didn't do nothing for you. Well, you know, I'm here, but just by the skin of my teeth. I don't want to go that way. I want to go like these men, serving the Lord and the soul being prospered, not necessarily my pocketbook, but the soul that God will provide his provision. And then the provision of land, the promised land. That's one of the central themes in the Old Testament. We've heard it all the time. They sing songs about the promised land and Beulah land and all of this. God refers to the land in the context of his promise 600 to 700 times in the scriptures. And not only represents geography, but it's talking about God's covenant with his people. The blessings, the expectation of obedience. In Deuteronomy alone, and as I taught on this the other day, it just really intrigued me. In Deuteronomy, 160 verses, there's 187 times that the land was mentioned. And we go to this, the promises to Israel, and we try to claim Israel's promises, and that's not where it's at. God was going to provide a land for Israel. God never promises to provide you land. There are promises to Christians, and there are promises to believers. There are promises to Israel. There's promises to the apostles. But they're not all our promises. The principle we can gain from and we can learn from and we can apply some of the principles. But the promise of the land was not to us. It was to Israel. Joshua 24:12, and I sent the hornet before you. Who sent that? God, it says, which drave them out from before thee, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow, and I have given you a land for which ye did not labor. If you see some hornets, I think you probably ought to run the other way, because God didn't promise to drive people out with hornets in front of you. He did them. All of these things, the cities, he provided everything for them. How many of you had to work a job through your life? What did Israel have to do for 40 years? God provided everything. He provided their food. They didn't have to do anything. They come into Canaan land. The cities were already there. They'd already been built. The crops had already been planted. All they did, that's why they said, we ate of the fruit of the land this year. And they didn't plant a thing. God provided everything for Israel because he promised to. Now, in Joshua 24 and verse 13, he says, I have given you a land for which ye did not labor, and cities which ye built not, and ye dwelled in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat. The sword may be in man's hand, but God is the one that moves the arm that swings it. God is the one that fights the battles. This is what we've lost in America. We've lost our trust in God. When we go into negotiations, we look at these negotiations about what we can get. We don't honor God at all. And because of that, we wonder why things keep falling apart and the enemy keeps getting the victories. It's the same thing in politicians when you're running for office and stuff like that. You honor God and you let God put you in the offices. You can grab the bow, but until God gives you the strength to pull it, that arrow's not going anywhere. God was both the courage, he was the power, he was the conqueror, the terror of Israel's enemies. That's what caused them to flee, God, not them. That's why they can say the battle is the Lord's. And we've forgotten this. When we go to fight with somebody suing us, or we got a problem, we don't realize God is the one, the presence of God. We have to have God fighting our battle. The dumbest thing I ever seen is these idiots going on TV and saying, well, if all you got's prayer, you ain't got nothing. That is malignant dumb. That shows that all these people on these different stations and stuff that have all been saying, well, we're people of faith. They have no faith. They have no trust in God. They trust in their might. They trust in their politicians. They trust in their law. They trust in their thinking and their reasoning. And God says, no, if my presence is not there, it's not happening. The battle is the Lord's. Psalm 44 and verse 3 says, for they got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hast a favor unto them. It's called grace. They won the battles not because of their power. They won the battles because of their God. We win the battles in this life because of our God. Not because of our great lawyer, not because of our intellect, not because of how we can manipulate and figure things out. We win battles because of our God. And we so easily forget those things, and we must continue to remember them. The promised land, the promise of the land. I'll establish thy seed after thee, and I will establish their throne forever, 2 Samuel. These promises to the Davidic dynasty of Israel were their inheritance. God never promised those things to thee, to us. He said, I'll give unto thee and to thy seed after thee the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, and I'll be their God. How many of us have claimed this promise? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. How many of you ever got your land healed? That is a promise to Israel. Now, yes, we can apply some of the teachings from that, and we can find other places in the Bible where those teachings are true. But that promise is not to us. That was a promise to Israel. And so we claim these verses, but nobody's got their land healed. I mean, when it gets hot, your crops burn. When it rains too much, it floods it out. We can learn from these. We can claim the principles, but make sure they're taught elsewhere in the scriptures. The calling on God's name, we see that all the way through the New Testament. The humbling ourselves, we see that over and over. One of my grandsons sent me a message. Grandpa, you ever preach a message on humility? He's never heard anybody preach a message on humility. It's quite interesting. Praying. Yes, we're to pray. God tells us that throughout the New Testament and the rest of the Old Testament. Seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways. All of that's in there. But this promise was to Israel. Now, God's provision. God's provision. First of all, God provided a leader. He says, come now, therefore, and I will send unto thee Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people. He calls Moses, provided him a leader. Then God purchased their freedom from bondage. He said, I'm the Lord, and I'll bring you out, and I'll redeem you with a stretched out arm. God gave them favor and wealth, and they spoiled the Egyptians. That was Exodus chapter 12, verse 36. He opened the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon dry ground. And then God destroyed their enemy. The Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And then God healed their water. And the waters were made sweet. You see, over and over and over, God just continually checks off one after the other of the things that he promised, because they would have God's presence, and God does every one of them. God provided man and quail. I'll rain bread from heaven for you. And at even ye shall eat flesh, he says. Then God provided water from the rock, and there shall come water out of it that thy people may drink. And then God provided a law and a covenant. He gave the rules. He told them what to do and how to do it. The Ten Commandments were designed for Israel, that Israel would know how to live their life in the promised land, so that the rest of the nations and the world would see there is no God like this God. There is no word like this word. There is no people like this people that serve this God. Deuteronomy chapter 4. The whole thing. That's why we're not supposed to keep the Sabbath. Why? That was a promise given to Israel and a command given to Israel. That's how religions are developed. They take promises and commands given to Israel, and then they build their whole religion, their whole doctrine, on promises to Israel instead of promises that are made to God's people. God provided a worship system to atone for their many sins. He says, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And God's presence led them by day in a pillar of cloud and by night in a pillar of fire. And God provided protection from their enemies. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And God gave them victory over the Amalekite. Joshua discomfited Amalek with the edge of the sword. God fed them right into their hands, and they defeated a far superior army. And God brought them to Canaan, the promised land. He says, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all thy people, unto a land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given to you, as I said to Moses. Everything we have comes from God. He's provided everything. The promises that he made, you can check them off one after another, after another, after another, and these aren't all of them. But I think you get the point. We have to learn we can trust God. He's the one that provides for us when his presence is there. When sin separates us from God. Yes, he's omnipresent, but his presence is not there for us. We must obey God. James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness and no shadow of turning. Mark 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. The normal things are going to happen. But when we have those situations, when we need the grace of God, when we need God's sufficient grace to help us through any of these difficulties, no matter what they are, we need God's grace. My grandchildren are off to college now. I love my grandkids, but they can only live with me so long before it's over. But I pray for the grace of God for each one of them. And if I did not believe that God answers prayer, I'd never pray another prayer. If I really did not believe that by me having God's presence, that he will answer and take care of my grandkids, because I'm right with him. Remember Job? He said, I'm praying this, and if my grandkids or if my kids or whatever have sinned, God, I'm praying on their behalf. All of these things, that keeps me right. Because if I have the presence of God and I pray and I serve him, he's got the strength to take care of those things that I have no control over. That's why when Alicia called 2:00 in the morning and said, Dad, how did we kill that cobra? And it got my attention. I said, why? She said, well, I got one out here cornered, and how did we go about killing that thing? So she takes her video camera on the phone, takes it out here, and sure enough, here's that cobra staring at us, you know, and well, this is what we did, and she goes ahead and kills the thing, and I roll over and go to sleep. She calls one night and puts the phone up on the table, and I mean, it's war. I mean, guns going off everywhere. They killed 111 or 113 people within just 100 yards of her front door. After we talked with her and prayed with her, we turned over and went to sleep. Slept like a baby. Why? Because my God has proven himself over and over and over. When we have God's presence, when she has God's presence, God will take care of everything. You say, well, what happens if she gets killed? God took care of everything. It's not just good and bad. God's there for everything. God's grace is sufficient in everything. God's grace will get me through. God's grace will get her through, no matter what. The presence of Almighty God, that's where God provides. Is God providing your need? The greatest need you have is your soul, not just for salvation, but in your Christian life to follow him. And one after another, after another, after another, God says, I put this list so you can learn. You can trust me. Amen? Father, help us not to worry about all the things that are going on. Lord, you said the sun would rise in evil and the good. help us not to worry about the amount or what's going on. You're good at keeping score, and you'll provide our needs. Give us strength. Give us your grace. Lord, be with the pastor as he preaches the message here shortly. Lord, fill him with thy spirit that you would speak to our hearts that we might be more like thee. God, what a study of Moses and bringing the children out and releasing them from the bondage that they were in. But now, Lord, continue to bless and release us from the bondage that we as Christians are in because we have succumbed to the world's thinking instead of trusting your word. Lord, bless us, help us in this day as we honor you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.